Lord Jesus, that you're always coming after us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray, God, that that we would, God, turn around and we would open our eyes, God, and we would even begin to run after you too, Lord Jesus. God, until we are met with a warm embrace, Lord Jesus. God, what it means to know you, Lord Jesus. God, I just pray that this church would do that, that God, that we would collectively come together as one body, Lord Jesus. And God, we would embrace you as you have embraced us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, God, this morning that, God, whatever word you had for us, God, that we would hear it, God. That, Lord, that we would not just hear it, but it would sink deep into our hearts and we would begin to live your word. God, we need to hear from you today. We need to hear from you every day. So, God, speak to us, God. Use Pastor Doug, Lord Jesus, God. God, let your word be known today, God. Let our hearts be open and receptive, God. And let us be doers of your word, I pray in your precious name. And everyone said, amen. All right. Can we put our hands together? Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For his good is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand. With a mighty hand. In an outstretched arm. His love endures forever. And for the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Lift up your voice to the King. Sing praise, sing praise. And yeah, forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us forever and ever. Yeah, forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us forever and ever. Forever. From the rising. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Lift up your voice. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Yeah. Let's sing together, but as we do, let's personalize this and let's sing, forever you are faithful, God, forever you are strong, forever you are with us, God, forever. Hallelujah. Can we do that together, church? Let's lift that up.
Forever you are faithful, forever you are strong, forever you are with us.
praise to our King because He is so worthy. Glory. And at this time, let's greet one another with a hug and a smile here at Pathway of Hope.
Doug,
oh,
Doug,
hi.
Doug, hug. Doug, hug.
Welcome, everybody. Wow. How are you? Good morning. Great to see you. For the last few weeks, we've been showing you some videos that our denomination Foursquare has been putting together to illustrate some of the things that have been going on over in Haiti, some of the relief efforts that we've been doing over there. So we have the third in a series of videos to show you this morning. And so sit back and enjoy this video.
Jesus was asked who our neighbor was. He talked about the Good Samaritan. And one of the things that's really important, I think, about the story of the Good Samaritan is that he not only took care of the immediate need, he said to the innkeeper, "I'll be back." And I think that was an incredibly comforting word of someone who cares enough not to just respond immediately, but that they're going to be there till the job's done.
I really do believe that it's important that we add to the relief, recovery, and rebuilding aspects of what we do so well, the restoration of a spiritual presence in the form of leaving churches that have been planted that over a long period of time can minister to the needs of people.
Our goal is to see healthy, vibrant churches planted throughout Haiti that can bring the love of Jesus Christ to that nation, to bring healing, compassion, His mercy, and for them to once again discover the dream that God has for them.
The story unfolding in Haiti today depicts needs of monumental proportions as an entire nation has been devastated. We, the church, have an opportunity to impact the lives of countless individuals both today and in the weeks, months, and years ahead. Please join us in this effort as we pray. Continue praying for the people of Haiti. Pray for the needed supplies and aid to get through. Pray for those serving on the front lines of this disaster. Give. While the news coverage has already begun to fade, our work in Haiti has only just begun. Your generous gifts will help us rebuild broken lives and restore hope. Give to Foursquare Relief by going to give.foursquare.org/relief. Go. The task before us is immense. The Foursquare Relief and Compassion Team is already mobilizing personnel. In the weeks and months ahead, we will need medical teams, construction teams, and ministry teams. We need your help. For more information on joining a team, go to fmi.foursquare.org/go-teams. Foursquare Missions International, people making a world of difference, one life at a time.
Our Aren't you glad that you're a part of a church that is helping those in need? And I so am. We not only help here in Catalina Food Bank, you know, with our local, with the Catalina Food Bank, with non-perishable food items and clothing, but also we are helping with the Four Squares Missions. And just to point out, too, that how you can do that is on your offering envelope inside your bulletin, there is a place that says Missions Offerings. If you do not want to send directly that way, if you just put down Haiti, under that, they will make sure that it goes directly for Haiti only, okay, instead of just the general missions fund, which is awesome, too. I mean, that helps in a lot of ways, too. But if you want to do it that way, that's great, too. Also, you have the communication card, so we would like it if any first-time guest would fill this out, or if you have any changes with your information, like regarding your address, cell phone number, home number, email, and that way we can keep you posted also on prayer requests, because there's power in prayer, and we love to. Did you hear that praise report? Wasn't that awesome? Praise report of Kevin's co-worker's wife. So that was awesome. That was so neat to see that. We lifted it up in prayer and praised God for that answer. And then, but also in your bulletin is the announcement regarding the Super Bowl party today, this afternoon at 3:30 at the Kemper's home, Kevin and Charlena's. And so if you haven't already told them, go ahead. There's plenty of food. Come ahead and come. If you need directions, he has them. So a little piece of paper he can hand you, and that gives you directions to his home. And the food will be hot till about 5 o'clock. So if you can't make it there right at 3:30, you know, that'll be fun. So we'll be have a good time. And then I love what he writes. He goes, I just lost a bunch of papers. But it says, it is not necessary to bring anything. Really, it isn't. And if it disturbs the very core of your being to come empty-handed, some of us, you know, it's like, I can't do that. So it says, bring your favorite snack. So anyways, but there is plenty of food. So thank you so much for doing that. And then I forgot to put down about our women's fellowship night. It's usually the second Monday of every month. And so tomorrow night is the second Monday of the month. Wow. So tomorrow night we have the women's fellowship night at Starbucks at the Safeway on Tangerine and Rancho Vistoso Boulevard. And it's at 6:30 till usually where they'll turn 9. But, you know, anytime you can show up and want to, you're welcome to come and join us. It's a great time of fellowship, just a time of just kicking back and enjoying and encouraging each other. And then also another one to remember is the men's breakfast is this coming Saturday. And that is at 7:30 a.m. And that's over at the Bashes over here. So, and then you know, eat there and yum yum and good stuff. So go ahead and look at the announcements. Also, there's an announcement on the 20th. We have a video that is going to be shown at Urgent Care. So we would appreciate if you look at it. We'll have more details regarding that coming up. So thank you. Look at for all their pathway happenings.
Thank you, Karen. All right. Can we all stand to our feet? Let's continue to worship our Heavenly Father.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. For my soul longs and neither faints for you. Place your glory where
I am. For you, the living God, your spirit's water for my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. And I will draw near to you. As better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere. Lift that up to him. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, thousands elsewhere.
One day in your house, better is one day in your courts, bound.
is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere.
Church, we have to desire. We have to run after God. We have to totally and completely desire Him. We have to want this really bad. You see, the Lord, He already wants it. As a matter of fact, that's why He created us, so that He could be with us forever and ever. Because He loves us so much, He has made a way. Whatever it is that stands in your way right now, whether it's the busyness of life or the distractions, or maybe it's just too much of those everyday activities, whatever it is, can we just lay that down? Can we just let it go and say, Lord, You're way more important. God, I want You more. I want to be with You, Lord Jesus. Better is one day in Your courts than a thousand anywhere in this world, Lord. Anywhere in this place, anywhere in my mind, God. Nothing better but to be with You, God. I want to be here in Your arms, Lord Jesus. I want to be with You, God. The God of now. The God of right here, God. I want to be with You, Lord Jesus. Ooh, better is one day in Your courts. Better is one day in Your house. Better is one day in Your courts. A thousand elsewhere. Let Your heart be there. Better is one day in Your courts. Better is one day in Your house. Better is one day in Your courts. A thousand elsewhere. All the restraints, let them go. Ooh, we want to let them go. Ooh, cause there's nowhere else I'd rather. Standing right here with You, Lord. Where else I'd rather be than with You. Ooh, there's nowhere else. Just lift up your voices to Him. Lift your hearts to Him. Lift them to Him empty so that He may fill them with His love, with His Spirit.
Oh, lead us, Lord. Lead us, Lord.
Hallelujah. More of You, God, and less of us, Lord. That's my prayer, God. More of You and less of us, God. I pray in Your name, Jesus.
God is good. Tally Kelly received a message, a word from God this morning. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on one. I have come to set the captive free and give sight to the blind." We've seen throughout our time here at Pathway that our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a God of the impossible. And our God is a God that wants you to feel His presence today. He wants you to feel His love. He wants you to feel His power. We're going to enter into our ministry of prayer time. If our prayer teams would step over here and be available. If you have anything on your heart that needs to be prayed for, please go and pray with our intercessors. I'd love to pray with you. But in our ministry of prayer today, I want to focus on being in God's presence. We talked last week about how God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So let's seek him with all our hearts this morning. Let's sing together.
Let's continue to let that sweet Spirit of the Lord
when all is said and done and everyone is gone, Lord, you're really all I want. The best the world has just leaves me feeling numb. Lord, you're really all I want. All that I long for, all that I hope for, is just that sense of you coming near. All that my heart is hungry to have, just one more touch from your loving hand. When all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want.
Sing that again, church. When all is said and done, you're all I want.
When all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. Is said and done, and everyone is gone. Lord, you're really all I want. The best the world has just leaves me feeling numb. Lord, you're really all I want. All that I long for, that I hope for, is just that sense of you coming near. All that my heart is hungry to have is just one more touch from your loving hand. And all is said,
let that be your heart right now. All is said and done.
When all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. You're all that I want. When all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. Yes, you are, Lord. Yes. Everything inside of you, won't you let it go, let it go, let it go. Everything I am, everything I have, Lord, is yours alone. You're all I want, you're all I want. Mm-hmm. is sitting dumb, and everyone is gone. Lord, you're really all I want. The best the world has just leaves me feeling all that I long for, all that I hope for, is just that sense of you coming near. All that my heart is hungry to have is just one more touch from your loving hand. When all is said and done, Lord, is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. You're all that I want, love, love. Ooh, when all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. Yes, you are, love. When all is said and done, said and done, oh Lord, oh, you're all that I want, you're all I want. When all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want.
Sing that again, church. When all is said and done,
when all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want.
One more time, let's seal it.
When all is said and done, Lord, you're all I want. You're everything to me, Lord.
Hallelujah. We need to make him our everything. Above all things, we need to have a desire for our King. Intentionally make a way to let His Spirit inside of you. You see, that's our choice, church. God's not going to pry bar His way into our lives. He's not going to push us into a deep relationship with Him. But you know what? He is the kind of God that waits around, and He'll wait for you, and He loves you. And He's got open arms. And He's a strong and mighty God. And no matter what you're facing, He can be your strength. He's the kind of God that will fill you to the brim and overflow inside of you. And there's nothing like that touch from the Almighty King of Kings. God, come set our hearts straight, God, as we desire after You, Lord Jesus.
Falling on my knees, oh, So I'll wait for you. So I'll wait for you. Yes, Lord. And I'll wait for you. Yes, I'll wait.
God, as we empty ourselves this morning, would you come fill us now with your love, Lord Jesus? God, would you help us to understand those things, God, that prevent us, God, from being filled completely with your Spirit, Lord Jesus? God, we want to be moved in such a way, touched in such a way by you, God. That God, even as we fall away at times, even if we mess up, God, and we miss out, Lord, even when it's hard to hear your voice, God. God, I pray you place inside of us a hunger pain like we've never felt before, God. And God, that there would be nothing in this world that could ever satisfy it like you do. God, nothing in this world to satisfy our hunger here, God. God, we need to be hungry for you, God. Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. Yes, I wait for you. Lord, I wait for you, and I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, your all is heart is living for all I'm living. Jesus, your all is.
Let's just spend a moment in silence before our God. Father, thank you. Lord, as I was in the back of the room watching everybody worship, Lord, I was overwhelmed by the feeling that there's so many hurting people in this room that just need your touch today, Lord. They just need to feel your presence. They just need to feel your arms wrapped around them. They just need to know that everything's going to be okay. Show them that today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer teams, you can be seated. Worship team, as well. It is a pleasure to welcome back to us after she's been away for a little while, Lola, daughter of Ray and Consuela Mundi. And she came to me this morning, told me that she has a testimony that she'd like to give about what God's been doing in her life.
Hi, everybody. I just came back Tuesday, and Tuesday night, Dick came over to my parents' house, and we had a prayer meeting. And in the middle of the prayer meeting, there was a phone call from my husband, and he asked for prayer for his grandmother. A few months back, she's 89 years old, so she's getting up there. And first off, let me just say that I feel that this is encouraging for everyone to join a prayer meeting group and to build your faith up. Anyways, Grandma Drury, that's her name, she wasn't looking too good and came down from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to stay with her family. And went in and out of the hospital and nursing homes. And a couple weeks back, she started having seizures. And her son thought she wasn't going to make another day. And she pulled through. So this is, you can see that things are getting pretty rough. And she's still fighting to hang in there. So we prayed for her Tuesday night. And my husband said last night, "Did you hear the news?" I said, "What news?" "About my grandma." I said, "No, you didn't tell me anything." He said, "She's going home Tuesday, and she's off all medication."
Wow.
So you sit there and think, wow, you know, she should just give it up, and, you know. And I want to say something else, that a few years back, I talked to her about the Bible. And she was very kind of aloof about it and said, "Oh, that's words by men, and I don't really put a whole lot of faith in that." And when I had seen her around Christmas time, I told her that my mom and family, we've been praying for her. And she said, "The good Lord still got me here." So God's keeping her here for a reason. And the other thing my husband said, "Well, ask the whole church to pray for her." So it's very encouraging words, and I thought to share that with everybody. And just want to ask everybody also to ask you to pray for my mom. She's not feeling so good. That's why I came out. And she's seeing improvement already, but if you pray, thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Yes.
The Lord gave me a word while praying, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Yes.
That's the word that the Lord gave me while praying.
Excellent. Thank you, Consuelo. Well, I'll tell you what. Stories like this just are starting to not surprise me anymore. Know what I mean? And at the same time, it's important as we're watching God work through our church and through other people praying for healing in areas. It's important that we always give God the glory and we always praise Him for the awesome things that He does. Amen? I also want to introduce a new member to our congregation. Nancy's daughter, new baby daughter, is here with us in the service today, Isabella. And so we are very excited to have her with us today. Yeah. So, church growth. I like to see it. Yes? Say hi to her after the service and don't touch. So, and hopefully you guys can all join us for the Super Bowl party this afternoon. It's going to be a great time. So be here for that. We started a new series last weekend, right, on God Chasers, and we've been in, those of you who are participating in the small groups, you've been up here, you've been participating in your small groups this week, watching the first chapter video. Hopefully you've been reading the first chapter of the book God Chasers, and on Sundays I'm going to be kind of delving a little bit deeper into some of the things that we're studying in the book. So you will get a lot out of this series. If you're not participating in one of our small groups, go get the book and read through it as we're doing this study, a chapter a week, and you will get a lot out of this series, a lot more than you would otherwise. Barnes & Noble has it without the study guide, right? And you can order it off of Amazon.com for pretty cheap. And so, hopefully you guys can do that. It's gonna go a long way towards increasing what you're going to get out of this sermon series called God Chasers. We have a verse that we've been studying. We mentioned it once already today. We're memorizing this verse as a congregation so that we can have God's word ingrained in our brain so that when the devil comes after us, we have some ammo to shoot back at him, right? So the verse that we've been studying for this time is Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Let's all say it together. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, with all your heart, all your being, everything that is about you. Be chasing after God, more of God. Be hungry for more of God in your life, and He will deliver. He will let you catch Him, like we talked about last week. So what we were, if you've read chapter 1 of God Chasers, and if you haven't, I'll give you a tiny little summary. I don't want to bore the people that have already read it. But chapter 1 of God Chasers is a story of a church in Houston, Texas, where God showed up big time. They were having a prayer meeting. They were having, actually, it was just a Sunday morning service, but they were deep into worship, and they were chasing after God. They were hungry for more of God. And that Sunday, God showed up. The air was thick with His presence. And at one point, there was silence in the sanctuary. And Tommy Tenney, the author of the book, was a guest preacher there. He didn't want to get up. He didn't want to get up and start preaching because he was afraid he was going to ruin what God was doing there that Sunday morning. So the pastor got up and went to the pulpit and started to preach, and all of a sudden there was a bang, like thunder had hit just like in the room. Thunder had hit in the room. The pulpit, which was made of strong plexiglass that was supposed to have been able to survive 50,000 pounds of pressure. And if it had 50,000 pounds of pressure applied to it, it would shatter like glass. The whole pulpit would. Instead, the pulpit was split diagonally and split in two. And the pastor was thrown backwards 10 feet. And at that point, God's presence was so strong in the building that the people of the congregation were climbing over the pews, climbing over the chairs, trying to get up to the altar so that they could repent, so that they could be filled with more of God, so they could have more of Him. It was so thick in the building that people driving by on the road were pulling into the church parking lot because they had no idea why. They were just pulling into the church parking lot. They were getting out of their cars. They weren't even getting into the church building. They were falling on their faces in the parking lot because God's presence was so strong in the whole area. People that were making it into the building were falling on their faces in the doorway because they couldn't get any farther into the building. God's presence was so strong. The ushers, I was telling Paul this morning, Paul needs to pay attention and not get overwhelmed when this happens, because the ushers were the ones who were picking people up out of the doorways and putting them up against the walls so that other people weren't tripping over them. And they were the ones picking up the pastor and taking him back to his office. The guy was out of commission for 2.5 hours after God threw him backwards 10 feet. God showed up. What I want to talk to you about this morning is it could happen to you. It could happen to you. So what I want to do is I want to look at some scriptures, some samples from scripture of times when God showed up, and use that to build your faith. That if it happened in the Bible and it happened in Houston, it could happen to you. It could happen here. Amen? Amen. So if you have an outline, you have a note sheet in your worship guide, you pull that out. If you have a pen, there's some pens on the chairs around you, hopefully. Or if you have your own pen, you can write this down. First thing I want you to write down is that God showed up in the Old Testament. You could turn in your Bibles, if you like, to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And some of the passage I'm going to be reading is on the screen behind me. I kind of summarized it a little bit, skipped over some parts so that it would fit on a couple of slides instead of 12. But listen to me as I read 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. This is Saul, who's going to be anointed and crowned king of Israel, the first king of Israel. Israel has not had a king up until now, and they were clamoring to God, "We want a king. Everybody around us has a king. We want a king." So God says, "Okay, I'll give you a king." And so the prophet Samuel is going to anoint Saul as king over Israel. So then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, there's going to be two men near Rachel's tomb. They're going to say the donkeys that you're looking for, they've been found. And then you're going to go from there to the great tree of Tabor, and three men are going to meet you there. One's going to be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, another a skin of wine. They're going to give you two loaves of bread. All this is to prove that the next thing I'm going to tell you is really going to happen. After that, in verse 5, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, tambourines, flutes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Notice he said, wait for the Spirit of God, then do what God's told you to do, because at that point, you've got God's hand of blessing in your life, and God's going to give you success. So go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I'm going to come down to you. Wait 7 days till I come to you. Okay, so verse 9, as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, what is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? So, in this story, we see God showing up in Saul's life to prepare him for what God has for him to do. So if you want to write down the purpose for this visit, for God to show up here in this instance, was to prepare Saul to do God's work of leading the people of Israel. That was the purpose, was to prepare Saul to do God's work of leading God's people of Israel. So God showed up in the Old Testament. That was just one example of when God showed up. Now turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, because God also showed up in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2 is a very familiar chapter probably for some of you. This is the day of Pentecost. This is after Jesus was with his disciples and his followers for 3 years, training them. Then he was crucified and buried and raised from the dead and ascended back into heaven. And before he left, he told his disciples, he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for what's coming. And so in Acts 2, starting in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they, which is the disciples and the other followers of Jesus, were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And this is interesting because there were people from all over in Jerusalem at that time. There were people visiting from Rome that probably spoke Italian. There were people visiting from Egypt that spoke Egyptian. There were people from Eastern Europe that spoke whatever language they were speaking back then. And can you imagine this crowd gathered around this building where God's Spirit is resting and filling people to overflowing so that they're speaking a language they've never learned before? Have you ever been to a football game or a baseball game? Have you ever been in a stadium? And you know that just general din, the white noise sound of thousands of people talking all at the same time. You know that sound? Just kind of white noise. You can't really make anything out in particular. I don't think that's what was happening here. I think each individual person, whatever language was their native language, that's what they were hearing, clearly speaking the word of God in their language, coming out of that building. Languages that they had never learned before. And that's God. God will tell you exactly what you need to hear when you need to hear it. His Spirit was there that day. God showed up. Verse 7 continues, utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How then is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? And it says later on, in verse 41 of that chapter, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior on that day because God showed up. So the purpose, you write this down on your outline, the purpose in this instance for God showing up was first of all to prepare God's people to do God's work. To prepare God's people to do God's work and to bring people to Him. To prepare God's people to do God's work and to bring unsaved people into a relationship with Him. That's why God showed up that day. He always has a purpose. He always has a plan. And we read in chapter 1 of God Chasers, God showed up in Houston, right? Did a little research on this. It was October 20th, 1996 was the date that this happened. And the church was called Christian Tabernacle in Houston. 3,000 member church, big church. But God showed up in a big way, right? Man, this was the 8:30 morning service when this happened. And they dismissed church at 1:30 the next morning. The service kept going through the 10:30 service. People just kept piling in and falling on their faces. And they just kept going until 1:30 in the morning. Amazing. God showed up in Houston. Our God is an awesome God. And the purpose why God showed up that day in Houston was to bring God's people to repentance and to bring people to Him. Can you imagine the presence of God so strong in this room that people driving by on Oracle Road out here are just turning into the school, they don't know why. And they're just walking in because they feel something. And whatever it is they're feeling, they've got to have it. And it's not my preaching. And it's not Randy singing. It's God. It's God's presence. That's what they need. That's what they want. It's what people, even if they don't know it, they crave it. They've got a hole in their life that only God can fill. God's just looking for an excuse to break out. Show up. There's some similarities between these three encounters, the Saul's encounter with the Holy Spirit and the early church, the first Christians, their encounter with God and what happened in Houston in 1996. Similarities between the three encounters. The first one was a willingness to wait on God, His timing. Willingness to wait on God. The new believers in the early church, they were told, go and wait. You know, wait for what I am going to send to you. And that was the Holy Spirit. He waited on God's timing. Second similarity was a willingness to respond to God, his instructions. Saul was willing to do what Samuel asked him to do because he knew that the Holy Spirit was going to be at the end of that road. You know, so he went where Samuel told him to go, and he did what Samuel told him to do, and he was willing to let go of his inhibitions and let the Holy Spirit take over and prophesy with those prophets. In the early church, they were willing to wait as long as it took. They were willing to, they were given boldness by being filled with the Holy Spirit to say words they didn't even know what they were saying. But it was the gospel to the people that were around the building. And then Peter got up after that happened, when that whole big crowd had gathered, wondering what was going on. Peter gave up, was obedient, got up, was obedient to God, and preached his first sermon, which resulted in 3,000 salvations. They were following God's instructions. And in Houston, they were willing to do whatever it took to have more of God. They were following what God told them to, told them to do. They were worshiping him. And when God showed up, they let the Holy Spirit have complete control. And the third similarity between the three encounters was a hunger for more of God, his presence. Saul knew what he needed to be king, and it wasn't found in himself. To lead the people of Israel, he knew he needed God on his side. He was hungry for more of God. The early church knew that, you know, they'd had Jesus, the Son of God, in their presence for 3 years, and now he wasn't there physically with them anymore. What were they going to do? They were hungry for, they knew that God had to be there for them to have success. Hungry for more of him. And in Houston, that church was hungry for more of God. They wanted him. And I'll tell you what, it started at the top. Did you notice? The people that were the most hungry for God's presence in that chapter were Tommy Tenney and the senior pastor. They were the ones who said, God's about to do something awesome. I want to see what it is. So I call on you, leaders of Pathway, get hungry. Be hungry. It starts at the top. I'm hungry. And it trickles down, people. Get hungry. I'm excited. I want more. I want God to do something amazing here. I want God to show up. I don't want to preach. I don't want to get up here and just talk words. I want God to show up. Pathway, what will God do here? God's will is to prepare us to accomplish his perfect will in this imperfect world. It's part of our vision statement. It's in your worship guide. He wants to prepare us to accomplish his perfect will in an imperfect world, and his will is to bring people to repentance and into a relationship with him. That's the purpose of why he shows up. We got to be hungry for more of him. We got to want to save the souls out there that need him. We got to have a hunger for that. Wanting more souls in the kingdom. There's hurting people out there that need God's touch. They don't even know what they're missing, but they need something. And this is what they need. They need God's presence in their life. They need to know God is real. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's on the bottom of every one of our sermon slides up here. So if God did that in the Old Testament with Saul, and God did that in the New Testament with the early church, and God did that in Houston in 1996, can God do it here? Yeah. Why not here? Why not now? Why not us? Why not you? It could happen to you. Let's pray. We want more of you, Father. God, I don't know your ultimate plans for this church, Lord, but I know that you want to use us to build your kingdom. And I know that you, what we've experienced of you is just a drop in the bucket compared to all that you are. Lord, we want more of you. We're hungry for more of you in our lives, in our church, in our jobs, in our homes, in our marriages. Lord, we need more of you in every area of our lives. Show up, God. We know that you're there, but show up with power.
Yes.
With authority. Do mighty works in our presence. Fill us with your spirit to overflowing, Lord. Because we cannot do it alone. Just like King Saul couldn't do it without your presence, and the early church couldn't do it without your presence, we are the same way, Lord. We can't do it without your presence. We need you. We hunger for you, Lord. There's nothing like being in your presence. Nothing compares. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a word, Doug. Is that okay? I feel like I have a word for our body today. And this applies to me as well. But as I'm teaching the teenagers basically the same thing that we're learning here, I feel in my heart that we want to desire this. We want to have the willingness to respond to God. We want this. But when it comes to being hungry, we're already full. We're already filled. And what I mean is I don't mean that blatantly we're filled with sin. I mean that we're filled with stuff in our lives. I did a little lesson with the teenagers, and I had Jeffrey draw a big cup on a whiteboard. And I said to the kids, I said, tell me, what do you do every day, every day? Just things in your everyday life. And we filled that cup up with stuff, just stuff, stuff. And I looked at him and I said, now tell me, how many of those things are sins? Kids at first were kind of like, video games? I'm all, no. TV? I'm all, no. The brush your teeth? I'm all, definitely no. You know, they were saying things like, just normal everyday stuff. And I said, listen, that in and of itself is not the sin. That's not the sin. And I put that aside, and I came to a cup and a bowl of dirt, and I had them come up one by one. And I said, take a pinch of dirt, name a sin, and put it in the cup. And they came up lying, cheating, stealing, murder, all of these things that are just blatant sins that we know of as Christians, people, we know these are sins. And they had a little dirt left, and I swept it off the table and into the cup, and I said, how about idolatry?
and it filled the cup. And I turned around and I said, now look at that stuff behind me on the board and tell me how much of that stuff do we spend more time with than we do in getting to know the Almighty King of Kings. You see, it's not that those things in and of themselves are a sin in our lives. It's that we have a tendency to just get going through life, and we do things, and we busy ourselves with the things of this world. You see, that's how we get consumed, and we begin to consume. And next thing you know, we can't hear the almighty voice of God, and we don't have a hunger. We don't know why. In church, we want to. We raise and we fight, but we're lifting up a full glass that's already filled. God wants to fill us, but we've got to empty. To become full, we've got to examine our lives. And we've got to shuffle through the things that are just normal everyday stuff and say, God, you first. You above all, you first. And then you watch as the Holy Spirit will begin to pour inside of you and fill you in such a way like you've never felt before, because it'll reach the inner depths of your heart that have never been reached before. You will be filled with the Spirit in such a way and empowered by it that there will be no stopping you, and the confidence and the boldness you have to speak the word of truth and light to others will come. But we have to empty ourselves. We have to evaluate what it is inside of us. And I just feel like that was a word for this church, for this body, that we get busy. Let's unbusy ourselves. Let's find out what those things are. Can we do that this morning? Let's stand together. If you believe that's a word this morning, would you just say amen? Amen.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, that my soul longs and even faints for you.
We want to long after you,
for here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Bitter is one day in your courts, bitter is one day. Flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. It's bitter as one day. One day in your house.
We're going to sing this song one more time while we worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings. If the ushers would come forward. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your provision over us, Lord, over our lives and over our church. I just pray that you bless these tithes and offerings. Multiply them, Jesus. In your holy name, amen. Thank you, everybody, and I hope to see you all this afternoon over at the Kemper's house for a fun Super Bowl party. I'm allowed to go. I ain't going nowhere. Jude, verses 24 and 25 is what I'll dismiss you with this morning. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen? You are dismissed.
Hungry, I come to you, for I've